home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, doing marathon crab caking, marathon tastinessing, and as serendipity would have it, great guests on the program here from Pizza John's. We are in the heart of Essex, Maryland. Some people think I'm from Dundalk. I am from Dundalk. I don't know why. They treat me better in Essex. Don't tell the people in Costas that, but I get treated nice down here in Essex. We're going to have pizza. We're going to swallow a lot of pizza, probably a lot of cheesesteaks, pour it all over with, maybe some crinkle-cut fries with gravy the proper way. We get ice cream here. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Pressure Lux. I also have the Lucky Sevens Doublers. I'm this close to getting the Raven Scratch-Offs, and once I get them, we're going to be into them into September. Monday, we're going to be at Costas in Timonium. On Tuesday, we're going to be at Slancha in Fells Point. And then on Wednesday, wrapping things up at Coco's, in where they're celebrating 40 years, and I'm going to be celebrating with them on Sunday. That'll be on Wednesday afternoon. We'll be in Larville. We're here in Essex. You know, I've been trying to get this guy on. He'll always be my Vegas pool mechanic. Yep. At the Maryland party. He throws a great Mako party. He has crossed county lines from Harford County down here to Baltimore County into the eastern part of Baltimore County. And J.B. Jennings, not only a cousin to my ninth grade prom date, Stephanie Whedon, and I guess this is, you know, small to more how we get linked together, but today is day 9 backing up into the tastiness tour that I'm doing, our 27th anniversary, my 27 legitimate favorite things in the whole world to eat. And today, and people think I'm coming to Pizza John's, I'm going to feature the pizza. I am. I'm going to have the special Dundalk Venezuelan thing that I like, which is a Hawaiian with the pepperoni. We're going to talk about that. But what really makes this place special is I've gotten into this cheesesteak argument. And Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, not the Politico Bill Cole. They're both my Bill Coles, but, you know, that the roofing Bill Cole. He says his buddies call him Cheesesteak Billy because he likes cheesesteaks. That's sort of what he orders wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. If there's a cheesesteak on the menu, he'll order it, and he'll be happy with it no matter what. And we got into cheesesteaks, and I'm like, you know what, man? No offense to even any of my other sponsors at all, but, like, this is the only place I get a cheesesteak. And when I had you here, I said, hey, can I get you some pizza, get you something? You're like, no, I'm going to get a sub later. And I'm like, pizza. What kind of sub? And you said, you looked at me with indignity, with Harford County indignity, and you went, a cheesesteak. Of course I'm getting a cheesesteak. I'm in Pizza John's. So you're no tenderfoot. I got people coming from east part of town. I got people coming from the west side of the county over here today who've never explored the wonder that is Essex and Pizza John's. But, you know, you get your passport stamp. You come in here a lot, huh?
I do. You know, this is an institution on the east side. You know, my family grew up on the east side. Jim Jennings Transmissions was my family in Essex here.
That is the heart of Essex.
Eastern
right
Boulevard.
There.
All right. Grandfather started it, I think, 1957.
I think he fixed a few transmissions for me.
He probably did. He did. I know he fixed many of mine. I tore them up. My father and uncles grew up right here in Middle River. I've represented the area because I have both Baltimore and Harford County in my district, so I do represent Middle River. My district line's probably about a half a mile east of here.
This close.
Yeah.
Literally. All right.
Pizza John's is the institution. On the east side, it's, you want pizza? Pizza John's.
Plenty of J.B. Jenny's constituents.
Oh, yeah. My uncle actually used to have, unfortunately, my late uncle, he passed away, but he had a house down here. And this
you
is where we
near
stopped.
The seagull is what an old guy like me would say.
Yeah.
Well, it's where we're Lunacy is now, right?
Well, yeah. Riverwatch was on the other side off of Hopkins Creek is where his place was.
Okay.
And this was where we'd be down there all day playing. We'd drive up here, get subs to go or pizza, and you'd sit down there and have dinner. But the pizza here, what we love is the pepperonis.
Oh.
They curl up. We call them cups
crispy,
of grease.
Crispy.
They have cups of grease
in them.
We
don't call them that. But
and when people come here and they have their little napkins and they dip the grease out, you're like,
people from Harford County,
whoa,
talk about
that is, that is, you can't do that.
You're hardcore here.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing, so I'm a member of the Air Guard. So drill weekends are, you know, right over here at Martin State Airport.
And where else would you go? Right.
This is, you come here on a drill weekend, you'll see this place scattered with people wearing their uniforms, because this is one of the places we come. You'll see retirements here. But when we have to do our PT and lose weight, we tend to like have to stay away for a little couple weeks or a couple months so that we stay shape. Because there's a couple calories in those pizzas.
Well,
I would say. But when it comes to cheesesteaks, absolutely. There's only two cheesesteaks I like over here. One in Baltimore County, okay. which is Pizza John's.
Okay. Got a spot for me. Come on now.
Yeah. The other one.
Tickling my gastronome at the right time of the year for me.
In Harford County, okay. It's Tamburino's. It's up in Hickory.
Never been there.
They've got the best cheesesteak in Harford County.
All right. One of my best friends growing up was a guy named Tony Tamburino, so I can remember that.
Tamburino's and Hickory, I think, has the best cheesesteak in Harford County.
Dude, I found a spot in Delaware that I've been raving about the last couple weeks. I was going up to a concert. When you find a legit place, like near Philly with broccoli Rob and Italian beef and proper roast pork, but the cheesesteak here, I'm so glad that you brought it up because, like, I'm going to feature it. And you mentioned the pepperoni here. I like... Don't judge me. It's controversial. I'm provocative if you look me up on the internet, right? But like, I like pineapple on my pizza.
So do I.
I'm not gonna apologize for that. But a ham and pineapple, it leaves me lacking something. No matter where I get it, even if it's like good ham or like gabagool or whatever. But the pepperoni and the crunch and the salt of the pepperoni really sets off the Hawaiian pizza here. And I keep petitioning. It's not like I don't know ownership around here. Brett's too busy back spinning pizzas. Yeah. Patrick's up here spinning pizzas. But I keep saying, you got to add this onto the menu because it's something really unique. It's like animal style at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to know about it.
I think with pizza, it's you have a craving sometimes. Sometimes you want a regular old cheese pizza. Sometimes you want pepperoni. Sometimes you're craving the
deep dish.
Deep dish, but sometimes you're craving, as you said, the Hawaiian. Sometimes you're like, you know what? You know, I just want. They have something up near us that one of the sub shops have. It's called spaghetti pizza.
No.
My kids love it.
No.
My kids love it. It's this pizza where they put spaghetti on it and they put a topping on it, and the kids love it. And it's like, but how about white pizza? You like the white pizza?
No.
So sometimes you crave that. So it's spinach pizza. So it's depending what you're craving,
see,
you know?
When I'm in New York, they give me the spinach pizza and they serve it white. And then I ask for sauce. And you would think that like I'm like the ugly American in Europe asking for like a piece of ice. Because they feign out, oh, American.
Well, that's how they are with the Hawaiian pizza.
That's how they are with the sauce at Joe's Pizza in New York. Put some sauce on there, Sal. By the way, J.B. Jennings is here. He is, you know, and this is where I'm going to have some bipartisan fun. Because I walked in here, and he's like on the phone doing this and that and legislating this and that. I don't know what you're doing. I mean, you represent people. You're going to have to explain to me what a state senator is and delegate. We're going to schoolhouse rock this for everybody on the east side. But he's over here by the pinball machine and we're in the kids' room over here at Pizza John's. It's lovely. You should. If I were 10 years old and I was having a birthday party, this is where I'd want to be. Now the Farrells is going over at Golden Ring, right?
It's been going a while.
Right? But I mean, that's where we did
I remember that as a kid.
So I come in and I swear he's over here and I'm over here and We Are the World was playing here. You know, I heard Michael Jackson, We Are the World. So we're, you know, like, and I'm thinking Republicans and Democrats. I've had more Republicans on a show this week and people give me a hard time about bipartisan. And I would say the world's more bipartisan than maybe Donald Trump would have you believe, or the most hardcore MAGA folks or the most hardcore lefties are, or, you know, wherever it is. There is a center somewhere between Essex, Dundalk, Towson and parts of Joppa and Joppa Town that we all sort of meet together. And I do, when I go to Mako and I get invited to one of your soirees and I see a bunch of Republican folks. By the way, David Marks is coming by, Republican councilman. We're going to get after him. He was making babies 8 weeks ago. I met the baby at your party. I mean, your party's like a whole family affair. And then it started raining.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
It did.
I gave you a hard time. So whoever got mad at me, we're friends. I was just giving you. It rained on your party, man.
Look, politics is... It has changed. Here's what I'll tell you is I was in politics before social media. Social media has ruined it with the fact that people, they see you, they put a picture that here I am. you know, at a function. I'll give you a quick story. Years ago, I was at a event. Governor O'Malley was there.
Okay.
Somebody took a picture of me at the event.
So we are going back 20 years ago.
Yes.
Okay.
At an event with Governor O'Malley. The governor and I are talking. It was in my district, actually, right over here at Wilson Point.
But you were serving as what then?
I was in the House of Delegates.
House of Delegates, okay.
It was my first term in the second term in the House of Delegates. It was his first term as governor. And it was ribbon cutting over there at Wilson Point at a park. And we just happened to be talking, you know, trying to fight stuff for the district. And, you know, I'm telling him, you know, issues that we're trying to get. Because we had an issue with flooding. Because there's kind of a low road as you go back there past the airport.
So you got his ear on your soil, and you're just literally talking to him,
and
right?
Facebook at that point, this was like 2010. Facebook was pretty new. Somebody snaps a picture. It's on Facebook. And everybody says, oh, look, his best friend is. And it was, what was wrong with that? Here I am talking to the governor. He's in my district. We're talking about issues in the district. He's willing to try to help me. And that's what's happened with Facebook or social media.
Weaponize whatever, however you want to weaponize.
That's what's happened with politics. Is social media is people see stuff and they immediately comment. I had something the other night where people were commenting on something that Wes Moore passed this year about if you sell a house and move out of the state, you're going to be charged 6% sales tax. And I said, that's not true. So here I am, literally at 10 o'clock on a Friday night, I'm getting emails and texts from people saying, this is terrible that you guys passed this. I said, where are you learning this? Where did you hear this? And so, you know, I'm quickly like trying to read this blog that somebody's put out there. And I said, no, that is withholding. If you live out of state and you sell a house in Maryland, it's a withholding because you're out of state. That's been on the books for years. It's nothing new. Other states do it because the idea is that you live out of state. They want to make sure they hold the money and they get it at settlement.
Sure.
And because it's on social media, it runs like a forest fire, a brush fire. It just takes off. And that's the thing is...
Well, we had phone booth when we were kids. This is phone booth gone wild, right?
Politics has gotten tough that way. We all get along. And as I say, and, you know, years ago in the Senate, you give what's called... We have three speeches that we give every year in both chambers. You give Washington Day speech, MLK Day speech, and Lincoln Day speech. And members give the speeches. Republicans give the Lincoln Day speech. Generally, a member of the Black Caucus gives the MLK speech, and usually a Democrat will give the Washington Day speech, or they'll bring in somebody like a scholar or something to give the Washington Day speech. And so Mike Miller, late Senate president, gave me the honor of giving the Lincoln Day speech. And I researched it, and I talked about, and at the time... Goodwin had written a book about Lincoln and how his cabinet was made up of his rivals. And that's how he made his cabinet. And that's why he was very successful. It was because he had people that had different thoughts than him, part of his team, to give him different ideas that, you know, it just was more effective. Anyway, so I gave this speech. And in the end, I talked about how when we walk on, and I use the term red carpeted battlefield, because the Senate uses red as its theme color. The carpet is red. That when we walk on the carpet of our red carpeted battlefield, we're going to fight like tigers. And we are going to battle as hard as we can on our issue. But once the debate is over, let us still be friends. Let us shake hands, compliment each other on the debate. But let's leave and go have dinner with each other and then talk about the next debate and the next issue. Because we can't be enemies. Because we may be enemies today on an issue, but tomorrow we'll be friends on one. And unfortunately, some people don't see it that way. And I call it the bell curve. You have some people who, what I call the outliers, that legislators that they refuse to work with the Democrat, or Democrats who refuse to work with Republicans. They don't get anything accomplished. And you got to have friends. But the thing is, you don't give up your principles. I mean, I have my beliefs.
You and I could sit here and fight for a couple hours on a lot of issues, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
You know, we could also sit here and talk baseball and agree on this or that or the other, but I think more than anything, I want to hear your background to why you wanted to get into this, and now that you're into it, it's kind of like me with this radio gig. Once you're in it, you know, what the hell else am I going to do? But you've been at this game a while here and have navigated Republican governors, Republican or Democratic governors, all the way through all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What got you inspired to want to be a part of this? You say you're an East Side guy. Give everybody your background, because I don't know enough about you, quite frankly. I know you through, but we've
I started
about this, honestly.
So I started politics. I love politics. As a kid, I had a guinea pig. His name was Milhouse, which was Richard Nixon's middle name. Always loved politics, loved Richard Nixon. I loved Ronald Reagan. And here we are over here, Martin State's a little far over here. They used to have an air show. And I was at the air show. My father was part of the chamber, and they had a VIP tent. He was in the VIP tent.
Didn't they do tricks and stuff?
They like, oh, yeah. They had all kinds of tricks.
Yeah. I remember
this. Unfortunately, it ended due to the F-117, the stealth fighter, crashed there.
Yeah, it's tragedy. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, the pilot survived.
Yeah.
Got to meet him. But anyway, so I'm in the VIP tent, and they have this newly elected congressman. He just got elected. This was in 1994. He's there. His name's Bob Ehrlich. And, you know, I'm this 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid in college, and, you know, happened to be standing there talking to him. And he said, hey, we're looking for, because he had just gotten into office. I think it was his first 6, 7, 8 months in office. He said, we're looking for interns. I said, I'd love to intern. So I started, went to his office, applied, was hired, and started interning for him. From there, once my internship was up, he was going to be running for re-election, because, you know, Congress is every 2 years. The House of Representatives every 2 years. So he hired me onto his campaign. So I started working that summer on his campaign, or the following summer on his campaign. And then once he was reelected, he hired me onto his congressional campaign, where I worked both D.C. and district while still going to college. And,
you know, I endorsed him on the air, yeah. Had him in studio, had him at the barn. Yeah.
And that's how I got into, politics. And then, you know, once I graduated college, it was kind of like, all right, I need to go find a real job. And that's when I started a feed store up in Hereford. A guy named Jeff Sharp actually started the store. He kind of brought me into it right after he had started it, and we were partners, and then I bought him out. So I had a farm supply store up in Hereford called Maryland Feed Company, and I ran
this
that.
This is where my wife would get corn to feed the deer,
yep.
and bird seed to
Absolutely.
Feed the birds. Okay, I like it. Peanuts to feed the squirrels,
yep.
Right?
So I've had a farming background. I love farming. I have cattle. I have a farm. My wife and I have a farm over in Joppa. And so my life at that point, this was in 1998, was all about farming. So I was feeding all the farms in Baltimore County, or most of them, with the mill of Bel Air and Bauman's feeding a
and
lot of
others. And politically active through supporting Bob Ehrlich?
Now, at that point, I had left politics.
Okay.
Once I, you know, had left him in 1990, once I graduated in 97,
or 98. That was a job you had as a kid.
Yeah, it was in college.
Right.
And I kind of left and went in the feed store. So for 4 years, I was running the feed store, doing that.
Did you always think you were going to run for something down the line, or no?
Maybe. Yeah, I liked it, but I was too busy running the feed store.
I know what that's like, running a business.
Running the business, loving the business. And the problem I was always running into was farming is tough. Because farming is a way of life. It's not the most profitable business out there. And developers are always trying to take the land. You know, they're trying to develop the land because it's more profitable to put a house on it than it is to put it in corn. And land preservation was big to me. And, you know, if you remember, we had an issue with Fisteria back then, with fish on the eastern shore that were dying. And so we had a lot of farming issues, and we were trying to help the farming community. And in 2001, Bob Ehrlich announced that he was going to run for governor. And let me back up. I got my pilot's license when I was 19 years old.
All right.
So I'd been flying out of Martin State, and he knew it because once in a while I flew him when I was working for him. I'd fly to the beach, and he would...
Also featured in And Justice for All, much like Tom Davis was featured in And Justice for All.
Yeah.
You know that, right? Martin State Airport's in the movie?
Is it? I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. It's where Jack Warden crashes the plane in the water.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Richard Nixon lived over here at Martin State. Just outside of it.
Okay.
Back in the late...
Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Richard Milhouse? Back at the
no
end of
relation to his hamster, but...
Guinea pig.
Guinea pig.
But back in the 1940s, right out of the Navy, he was still in the Navy. He was decommissioning Navy documents, military documents. He was stationed over there. I happened to be at the Verizon store at Foxtail Center, I think is what it's called, there in Timonium. You know, that's when you had the old StarTAC phones or something, you know, the older phones. because I was getting upgraded on my phone, and he's in there. And I saw him. We started talking because we were still good friends. And I said, congratulations. Good luck on the run. He goes, thanks. And he kind of says to me, he goes, you still got that plane? I said, yeah, I still fly. He goes, I might need to call you. I said, okay. So about 2-3 weeks later, I get a phone call from one of his staffers saying, hey, Congressman Ehrlich says he needs you to fly him out to Western Maryland. I said, okay, I'll do it. So his staff, like, at that point, because it had been 4 years, so a lot of his staff had left. Nobody really knew me
so
other than him.
So you owned a plane, rented a plane, had a plane.
I was ownership in a plane. It was like a partnership. It was four of us that owned
a
plane.
I've been up in helicopters and Learjets and different stuff like that, but like, you get your pilot's license not to have revenue. You weren't looking to be a pilot, right? You were looking to be a fun pilot.
That's
right?
A different story. no, I had always had the dream of being a airline pilot.
Oh, okay. So there was a track for you to
there,
take.
There was.
Professional track. Okay.
But unfortunately.
Because I often wonder, people that go and get
at
a
the
license,
time,
you know.
It's to be an airline pilot, you have to have what's called an ATP. And you got to have, I think it's 1,200 hours of flight time.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
It's all the, of course.
And you got to accrue hours and do everything you can to accrue hours. You know, 1,200 hours is a lot of flight time. So back, you know, starting in 97 when I first started, or I'm sorry, 95 when I first started flying, and got my license in 96, it's doing everything I can to build hours. Unfortunately, 9/11 kind of changed that course because just the airline industry was decimated with the amount of layoffs with
of
pilots.
That's that period of time.
So at that time.
I still think you as a young man, JB, but it's 24 years.
It 9/11. Has, yeah. So you had a lot of pilots that were laid off. So I kind of, at that point, I realized that it was going
to
take years for me to
get
there.
So I went a different path. Yeah, you were going to work for American Airlines. I got you.
So I was partnered. There was four of us that had ownership in a twin Comanche. And anyway, his office called and said, hey, can you fly? I said, sure. So it was a Saturday morning. I had to meet him over here. I said, meet me at Martin State. So it was he and two of his campaign workers. We got in the plane, and we had to fly out to Cumberland. And so I'm up sitting left seat. He's sitting right seat, and we're flying on headsets. And they had just changed, if you remember.
Ehrlich trusted him with his life.
He did. He did. And
I don't know, man. Would I go up in a plane with you? I don't know.
You
still flying?
No.
I wouldn't go up with a plane with you right now.
Not right now. You got to give me some
all
time to get current.
All I'm thinking is when Laverne and Shirley landed the plane. Remember that? Yeah, that's all I'm thinking.
So anyway, in
be
that,
more like Laverne.
In that flight, he and I started talking because all the House of Delegates seats and all the Senate seats were up for re-election.
Sure.
And the courts had just redrawn the lines because it was redistricting. What they had passed in Annapolis and what the governor signed, at that time, Governor Glenn Denning, the courts threw out. They found unconstitutional. They redrew the lines. And the new 7th District, which is just outside of this area that we're in now, was a district that, when you looked at it, was like perfect for me. And he kind of, literally, we're in the plane. He's holding a newspaper reading it. I'm flying. I had it on autopilot. I'm like looking at the map, looking at the newspaper like, I think I could win that district. And he said, I think you could too. And it was in that plane ride that I decided to run for office. With him sitting next to me, he's running for governor. I'm flying the plane. And so we landed in Cumberland. And
this was 01, right? Oh, yeah,
it was 2001.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I got married in 03, and he was a sitting governor at the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he and his team got in a car and went to the to their event, and I just hung out at the airport because there wasn't enough room in the car. I said, I'll be fine. I'll sit here.
He came to my wedding.
Did he?
Yeah.
So I'm on the phone.
He proclaimed a Jen and Ness Day in the state of Maryland.
Did he?
You can look it up.
So remember, I called my dad thinking my dad would be like, oh, terrible idea. Don't do that. He's like, I think it's a great idea. I'm like, really? I called the girl I was dating at the time, who's now my wife. She's like, I think that's a great idea. And so on the flight home, I said, hey, I think I'm going to do it. And then I was off to the races.
Well, I guess 24 years ago, right? By the way, J.B. Jennings here, senator just outside of his district, but knows where a good cheesesteak is, especially on my tastiness tour. So you had no illusions about it. And like, your district kind of a heavier agricultural sort of area than maybe you think when I think about farms over off White Marsh.
It
like
is.
Literally, right?
Yes. My district.
I mean, I lived in White Marsh during that period of time, literally.
White Marsh has changed a lot since 2002.
I sold my place in three. I sold my place, and Jim Smith would be, you know, involved in this because of Isabel. I mean, when the flooding happened,
yep.
I got flooded out of my place in White Marsh. I was at the right by the Boomy Temple. I had a house, and I came home from the Raven San Diego trip, the one where McAllister got thrown at. You know, this is, we're going back a long way here. It was probably 02. No, it was 03. It was Isabel was September of 03. And, like, that got me out of there at that point because of, like, floods and what sort of natural disaster that happened to everybody on your side of the county.
Oh, right? it was horrible down here. What it did to Boatley's Quarters, it devastated it. I remember we had a kickoff for my my store. We had actually revitalized, we remodeled it, and that Saturday morning was going to be the grand reopening. Isabel hit, power was knocked out, and I couldn't see that, you know, at our house the power was knocked out. And I went to 7-Eleven the next morning to get a soda, and they had power. And I was talking to somebody, and I was like, how bad is it? They're like, man, Eastern Baltimore County has been devastated. I'm like, really? So, and I was still a volunteer firefighter at the time, so I went over to Jacksonville fire station where I was a member and got on the, looked at the TV and realized how bad it was down here and immediately drove down here to Bully's Quarters and it was just completely.
Yeah. When I've talked to Jim Smith, whenever I've had him on the show, he just talked about, hey man, when you're a public servant, you know, whatever your other line of work was, when you've been through the Key Bridge going down,
I've had Johnny O on, like I
was in Florida the day the Key Bridge went down, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm in a hotel room with Luke, we were covering spring training, literally. And the first thing I see on television in my hotel room is Johnny O standing in this darkness of, I mean, real 911.
When you're
forever,
standing there,
right?
And the water's still receding, and you know people are coming out begging you for help, and they're soaked, and you realize
holding their dogs, right?
They've lost everything.
Yeah,
and you're their only hope, and that's when we kind of, you know, in District 7 at the time, you know, my delegates and I, you know, sometimes we would battle, but we put our differences aside, and that was, you know, Pat and Rick, Doug McDonough, Delgan Polaria, myself, Senator Harris, we said, put our differences aside. We need to help this district. And we had hearings, or not hearings, but we had community meetings where we reached out to Jim Smith. And again, that's when nobody was Democrat, Republican. Everybody was whatever your title was. If you were county executive, if you were state senator, if you were state delegate.
Well, the day after the Key Bridge goes down, you're a Marylander.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it was in a term I use is, it's like, September 12th.
Right.
It's like how everybody felt on September 12th. We came together and we met down there. We used Bully's Quarters Volunteer Fire Company. They opened it up for us and we brought in every agency we could. We worked with the governor's office. Governor Ehrlich said, whatever you guys need. They brought down different agencies. We had it kind of like they were staged. They had tables with big signs. It would say, you know, I think they were even handwritten, said, you know, Insurance Administration, Department of Environment, every agency you could think of that people would need help from were there. And people could go talk to them. And, you know, that's when you realize what the job is about. Yes, people think that it's to go to Annapolis to write the laws. Yes, theoretically, that is the job, but it's about constituent service. That is why I do this job. That is why...
Well, you write the laws to make people's lives better, right?
Like, you do.
Or you try to.
You try to make things...
To
run
correct,
smoother,
correct things,
fix problems.
Make things more efficient, right?
But unfortunately, I think we cause more problems with the laws we write because you have people that go look for laws. You know, I call them 60-minute laws where you'll see something, a bill where you're like, I saw that on 60 Minutes 3 months ago. Some issue that's never happened before. All of a sudden, now we have a piece of legislation coming in because it's like somebody saw it on 60 Minutes. But what I'm saying is, where I excel is in my office. My staff, Lauren Fowler, who works for me, does an incredible job on constituent service. That is what she focuses on.
Now, what does that mean? So at the end of the year, what's the number one call your office will get? Or the, you know, really top three issues? I mean, I think that's the reason I want to come and have a cheesesteak with you, JB. Figure out what's going on in your district.
Number one is usually, right now, it's been Easy Pass.
Okay.
People, once during COVID, when they switched from being having toll collectors to completely automated with the Easy Pass, people weren't paying their Easy Pass. You know, they didn't realize what was happening, and they're getting the fines in the mail. And what happens is it escalates quickly. What changes from a $2.50 Easy Pass toll, where you get now all of a sudden it's getting a penalty on it, it's getting interest.
If you're a commuter, you get an $800 bill and you lose your mind, right?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
And it escalates. And the thing is, there's no longer the sign there that's saying, you know, Easy Pass. I forgot what it would say, if it was good or.
It's crazy you'd even bring this up. By the way, JB Jennings is here. We're Pizza John's doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. And of course, Curio Wellness is sending me out to eat delicious things like this cheesesteak. If you're watching on video, we have a sunlight right above us, and there's not a thing we could do about it other than squint. And I got here through downtown today. I began my day. I'm doing this eating tour down at one of the other places I'm featuring. And I came through the tunnel, and it was just the strangest thing, because I don't go through the tunnel as much as I used to, right, because I don't live downtown. When I lived downtown, I was kind of like always coming to see my mother over here in Dundalk. I'd always take the tunnel. And we've had Easy Pass for, you know, since forever, since my wife and I got married probably. And we're a one-car family, so, you know, it's kind of easier to figure out who's doing what. And I went through, and there was no toll. And I'm like, I'm not used to that yet.
No.
I don't know even know when it got taken out, but, like, I came out of there, and there were no brake lights. And I'm like, damn, if they didn't take the toll booths. Like, I'm not used to it.
So they took them out at 95.
I'm just getting used to Perryville.
They're still there at 895. The Harbor Tunnel, the Fort McHenry, they're gone. But you still don't have a sign to tell you whether or not it's paid or not. But the problem is they escalate quickly. And if you go, you know, back and forth, that's twice as many. And then, you know, if you're, you know, let's do it for a week going back and forth to work. Anyway, what happens is it escalates very quickly. These fines take off. And, you know, for the average homeowner, the average Marylander, it becomes very expensive. We're talking hundreds of dollars. And sometimes it'll creep into the thousands. And, you know, they're calling the numbers.
So is the state giving any sort of relief on the fines and the, you know, like, they have, hey, I'll pay for what I went through.
They have offered amnesty at times where they've said, hey, okay, pay it and we'll do away with the fines and the penalties. You still owe the interest because you theoretically are using state money, so you always owe the actual toll, and then they're always going to get you on the interest. But they'll call our office.
Don't get on the wrong side of the tax man. That's rule number one, right?
But they'll call our office to help. That's like usually the number one call we get. But people call us for everything you can think of. There's a pothole that they'll see. Hey, there's a pothole. Can you get that fixed?
They don't call the county or what do they call?
Well, sometimes people don't know who to call. They just see a pothole.
I know JB. Yeah.
And I get that all the time.
Right.
And people don't know, you know, they'll call on some
what
issue.
What should they call you about? I guess that you don't mind them calling you about any of this.
I don't mind it. It's what I'm here for. I love it. I love it when people reach out to me. But
even if it's your old job, which might have been more, right, or a different job, something where you get something done. Because to me, if there's something wrong with a street light, I'm calling... I guess over here, Todd Crandall's probably going to.
Yeah, but like, for instance, you're going to have Councilman Marks one later. So our office and his office work great together. So sometimes, like, he'll have something that's a state issue. He'll pass it over.
Okay.
His office will call, or he'll call me personally and say, hey, I got a constituent just called on it. It's a state issue. Can you help me? Sure.
And it's just some nice lady living on a side street who just doesn't know.
Yeah,
doesn't
or know vice versa. Go. We'll have a county issue where I don't have the relationship with the county that he's got, and I'll call him, and or our office will call his office, where our staffs work great together, and say, hey, you know, Councilman Mark's office, we don't like to just push the constituent off. Say,
sure.
Oh, thanks for calling us, but you got to call him.
You got the wrong place, right? Right.
We, as I say, it's, and I always tell my staff, put yourself in that person's shoes. How would you feel if you called and they just said, oh, call the wrong person, call this number? Whenever it says, and they give you the number to call, the first thing you do is you take a deep breath. You sigh. You're like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. Whereas you say, you know what? We'll call for you, and we'll handle this for you to the next step. And that's what we do. And we work very closely with, you know, all the congressional. And it's also on the federal side. There's times people call us on a federal issue. Like, we get people who, I can't tell you how many times I'll get a phone call. Hey, we're going on a cruise, and I didn't realize my passport expired. It's like, okay, when do you leave? Friday.
Tomorrow? Yeah.
Friday. And I'm like, it's Wednesday. Yeah. Can you help me? I'm like, so Lauren got an incredible relationship with congressional offices because they're the ones that required to do it, where, you know, she's able to call them. We can pull the strings, and we're like, okay, you have to go
I
to CC.
I'm trying to get to the point where that happens, where I need one of you to pull a string. Yeah.
But people,
I do often wonder what people do call you about.
It's everything.
And where you get your juices flowing to be able to help them. You know,
it's
get
everything
an
you
answer,
can think
you
know? Of. We've had, you know, workers' comp cases. We've had unemployment. We have a lot of unemployment issues where people call us, where they're, especially during COVID, you know, during the whole COVID issue. But, you know, Lauren's got a list of cases, everything you can think of, where people are just having problems with government agencies, where sometimes, you know, government, it's unfortunately the world we live in nowadays, you don't get a live person. When you call the number, you get a AI automated voice that, you know, you got to, like, I'm always hitting zero. Give me a live operator. I want a live operator. And people get frustrated with that. So they'll call us. And fortunately, you know, my office, we know the back channels with agencies to be able to get through it and say, okay.
Well, that's how you get reelected, is taking care of people, you know.
And that's what we do. And we have, I think my office excels so well at it, we have people in other districts call us because other members can't get it done. Where I could tell you, and I'm not going to name what districts or what senators it is, but there's other districts where they'll call us and say, well, they couldn't help us. Can you help us? And Lauren will call me and say, what do you want me to do? I said, to handle it. Because in the end, we're here to help people. And, you know, I'll have people that are very rude to me. And I've had one guy right now who's extremely rude and to the point where he is 100% wrong in his case. I've tried to talk to him. And he wrote this nasty letter to us. And I said to him, I'll meet you. Let's meet somewhere in public. I'll meet you at a Panera. I'll meet you at a Starbucks. And I'll sit down with you and explain the situation. But instead, he just keeps hiding behind his computer, sending me these nasty emails. And then he'll hit me on Facebook when I post something about how I'm not helping him. And it's like, I've offered to meet you. What more do you want from me? And the way I've always, and I learned this years ago, is any email I send, anytime I hit enter, I always want to make sure, and I used to always think about Jane Miller from WBAL. Remember the investigative reporter?
I know Jane.
That if she were to walk in my office with a news camera and say, did you send this email? How would I respond? Yes, I sent that. That's the way I've always wanted to be. Is anytime I have
I've had a live microphone for 35 years.
You know, so how am I going to respond?
People standing by ready to make things up that I didn't
like
say.
I did,
so
the one time
I got it, you know.
And usually, you know, like, I'll write something and I'll be like, and I'll hold off hitting enter. The one time I did send one where I'm like, you know what, I don't care. And I hit the enter button. Ironically, over here at Martin State, it was during the War of 1812 celebration.
I remember that.
We had the Blue Angels over here.
My father-in-law came in for that. He
and they
flew
the Blue Angels in. They were flying in and out all weekend long. A woman who had just moved in was complaining and wrote me this nasty email that these jets are flying in and out and how this is wrong. And I'm like, really? So I write her this email saying, ma'am, the airport's been there since 1929. And I looked up her, you know, the property, and I saw when it was purchased, and she'd been living there for literally 8 months. And I wrote her, I said, you know, the airport's been there since 1929. I said it was, you know.
That's what got my family here. My dad came here to work on the fighters
my
from
grandfather
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Got my grandfather from Jim Jennings from North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, came up here delivering Christmas trees and got a job there in 1953,
My parents were married in 1945 at Mount Carmel, right around the corner from here, Carmel Church.
Yep.
And their first home was literally 4 blocks from here in Mars Estates, what became the Mars Estates Apartments, if you remember. They were first in there, and then they moved to Taylor Avenue and to East Point Mall. That's the whole trajectory of my family's life, my parents.
Yeah.
They died there.
Yep. But anyway, the
from
email...
From Essex to Dundalk. There you go.
The email I sent her said that, you know, the airport's been there since 1929, and I don't know how long you've lived here, but it's been here longer than you, I believe, even though I knew how long she's lived here. And that the jets you hear, the A-10s from the Maryland Air National Guard, and right now the jets you hear, which are the Blue Angels, are flying here for the War of 1812. Those I consider to be the sound of freedom. And I'm sorry you do not like them, but I do. And I hit enter. Thinking, you know, oh, she'll be up. Nope, she never responded back. But, you know.
Well, I mean, at some point, you hope somebody drops their sword, right? Whatever their sword happens to be. J.B. Jennings is here. He's representing the good people right up the road here, Baltimore County and into Harford County. He represents me every year with an ice-cold crush, even upon rainy conditions down in Ocean City, Maryland, as part of Mako. Also acted as my roadie at the Wynn in Las Vegas when, you know, I had this sexy old board, looked like a disco party, and it took a surge, and J.B. was, like, up trying to help me out and get all, and I'll have you know, my old school hardwired, it's not analog, it's not that old, but it's hardwired and it's functioning. So sometimes, you know, put an old dog in there to get it done, you know?
Yeah.
So you've been eating cheesesteaks here your whole life?
Pretty much. I mean, this is, like I said, this is where my family had its business since 1958.
This is the place Jim Jennings ordered some to-go pizza from Pizza John's.
Well, you had Captain Harvey's. Captain Harvey's,
yes.
But I think they're gone.
They're gone.
So Captain Harvey's is gone. So, you know, this carries the torch now. But this was the place to come. Always either pizza or
You gave me a place up in Harford County.
Tamborino's.
Okay.
Tamborino's, I think. That, you know what? You do your crab cake tour, you should do a pizza tour. I mean, cheesesteak tour.
So
do a cheesesteak tour.
I'm going to give you the whole lowdown on how this whole thing happened because it's our 27th anniversary. And I probably would have told you about this out in Vegas had I had you on. But so this is our month to like go to places and feature the things that I really eat. And I'm taking into consideration my sponsors, of which Pizza John is very proudly one of, I might add, even bringing the Dundalk guy over to Essex and eat the pizza over here. But this whole idea was to feature small businesses, feature the things that I like. And I'm heartened that when I say something like Pizza John's, Wendy Bronfine from Curio's coming over today, she's like, I'm west side of town. I hear people talk about it all the time. But I don't come over there. And as much as we are small to more, and as much as I took your cousin to my 9th grade prom, and she was a lovely date. Hi, Steph. Hope things are good. That we're small to more, I was amazed. Like, even when the Key Bridge went down, there are a lot of people that had never been over to Key Bridge because they didn't have a purpose to do that. Because they weren't going to Costas from Pasadena or to the airport from, let's say, North Point Village, right? So it is amazing with geography how we get stuck in our ways and we go to the same places. And then we go to the same places, we get the same thing. So now I've already told you, you like pineapple. You said you like ham. You've already bragged on the pepperoni and how you eat them the right way.
We call them the grease cups here.
We don't call them that over here. Maybe we call them that Harford County.
Well, no, it's just Pizza John's.
I would
pizza.
Implore
we
you.
Love it.
I would implore you to try the what I'm calling the Venezuelan Dundalk Venezuelan special. They don't like that here in Essex. They don't want to hear about that, but because I'm the Dundalk Venezuelan over here, that I would take a Hawaiian pizza, add some old fashioned East Side pepperoni on there, and that's the way I get it. That's the way I enjoy it. Now I like a supreme. I like the mushrooms here. I like the green. I like everything here. I like the onions. Even though they don't always like me, but I like the onions, and I'll get them on a cheesesteak. But I want to do something off the grid. Anybody can come over here and get a pepperoni pizza. It's delicious. I agree. Mm-hmm. But you got to get a little more, be a little more bougie than that. Be a little more creative. That's all.
Yeah.
What's on your cheesesteak?
I am fried onions. Here's a question.
Do whatever you want. I want you to be happy.
What is the cheese? Are you provolone? I'm 100% provolone.
I'm 100% provolone. Are they putting that cheese whiz on there?
Or American. American, no.
No.
I'm 100%.
No.
Cheesesteak, provolone cheese, fried onions, mushroom, mayo, and hots.
No lettuce, tomato.
No.
So I was up in Philadelphia. I ordered mine with lettuce and tomato, and they guy looked at me like I was a tourist. You know what I mean? Like, what? My mom always ate it with lettuce and tomato. Now, I'm old school, so I mean, I have Filetti's and Ross's Crab House, Zanino's, all my places in Dundalk. There were sub shops everywhere that did a cheesesteak, and they all did it a little differently. I would agree that Captain Harvey's was the cheesesteak for which all others were measured against. Yeah. But my mom would go to the Sub Haven up here in Essex, right by Jim Jennings. I mean, yeah. Three blocks away. Now, you would take the step down there, and they made the subs along the wall, kind of Woolworth style, kind of dime store style. It had the counter in there. Yeah, they were really, I mean, they were nothing like what I get here. Yeah. This is chopped meat, ribeye, every scratch kitchen. So when I invite somebody from the west side of town over here, they know the legend of Pizza John's, but they don't frequent, they don't know it. So
I have a lot, I do business development in the private sector. I have my own little company, and I'll have people that'll come in from the east, from the west coast, or even international, they'll come in and be like, hey, I want a cheesesteak. Let's go to Philly. I'll say, no, you don't.
Right.
Like, no, I want to go to Philly. I'm like, all right. Because, you know, where I live, Philly's 45 minutes away. We'll drive up 45 to an hour. I'll say, where do you want to go? And they always say the same thing.
Pattaginos.
I'm like, they're horrible. They are horrible. I'm like, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. We'll drive up there because we have work up there we'll do. And then I'm going to take you somewhere else. So we'll do that. We'll go up there. We'll do Pattaginos. And they'll say, ooh, these are terrible. I'm like, all right. And then before we leave, we come Pizza John's.
Well,
and then they're like, you're right. I said, told you. Or
you do know this isn't your district. They can't vote for you over here. Right?
I know. But I know.
Sorry. Well, at least you're being honest. I mean, you come at this as an honest man, JB.
I'm going to tell you.
From the beginning, I said to you, you know, what are you getting? And first it was sub. And I clarified, because I'm thinking, is he a cold cut guy? Is he meat? Because you know what they do to meatballs over here where they stuff them in there? You know what I mean?
Nope.
Stuff it down into the roll?
Cheesesteak. Provolone, fried onions, mushroom, mayo, and hots.
I'm real close. I'm not with the hots, but I'm down with the lettuce and tomato. All right, well, go get yourself a cheesesteak.
You got
Thanks
it,
for coming on. Anything you want to say about state politics or budget or do all the controversial stuff here? If I were going to ask you a gotcha question, I'll ask you. So here's your gotcha question. What should citizens know? Because I think there's a lot of consternation about budget and money and just, you know, times being tough. And you and I could sit here and argue about Trump all day and not solve anything. But as it goes, we are where we are right now, especially in this state.
Our budget is going to get tougher this year. I will tell you, last session was one of the toughest sessions I've been in dealing with a budget. I'm on the Budget and Tax Committee. It normally in budget years, even when in the tough times, we can always find money somewhere. We know we can move things around.
Well, I promote the lottery, and, you know, I talk about the cannabis industry, things that are creating revenue for the state, right?
Well, you know, one of the best things for the state is when you see I was actually coming back from a meeting this morning, and I came coming out of the tunnel. There's a billboard that Maryland Lottery. It's got the
$700 million.
The big Powerball and Mega Millions. And I saw $700 million, and I forgot the other. When you get up over $700 million to the billion-dollar mark, we make a lot of money in the state because people start playing. I don't play the those games.
I'm gonna pass that on to John Martin next week when I have him on
the
show.
He'll tell you.
Well, I know we did a whole segment at Mako showing it. Me and go to Baltimore Positives. What I do is explain that this is helping education. It's helping the fund. It's helping.
Oh, it is. But what I'm saying is
pressure for Republicans and Democrats in Annapolis.
That's when they sell those tickets. Is when you have jackpots close to $1 billion. Is when people start buying. That's when I'll go buy a ticket.
My wife, ditto.
I'm not going to buy a ticket now when it's
What are you going to do with it if you win?
$40 million.
What are you going to do? You're already a man of the people. You got a farm.
If I
live
won,
in a land of pleasant living.
I mean,
I'm saying screw Maryland and going to Wallea. I'm telling you right now.
No,
I'm in Wallea. You can find me in Maui.
I would keep my farm.
Right underneath the wind farm on the hill that doesn't look so good, but yeah.
I'd keep my farm. you know, I'd buy some toy. I'd buy the old box Chevy, you know, the pickup truck, the old 1980s versions, fix one of those up. And, you know, I'm a car guy, you know, get a couple cars that I've always wanted that never had the money to upkeep.
All I'm thinking is Super Bowl II, or Superman 2 right now. I'm a very humble man. Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you want's a truck.
Yeah. No, I've always
$700 million.
Well, if you win $700 million, you're taking home after taxes what, $350 million?
All right, it's a lot of cheesesteaks here at Pizza John.
It is. You know, I'd set my kids up, but you know, I wouldn't give them money. I'd make them earn it. You know, they're not getting the money right away. They'd have to earn it. They'd have to hit thresholds in order to get it because I don't want them to be lazy. I don't want them to be. I take lessons from people like. Warren Buffett, what he did for his kids. You know,
See, my kid's 41 right now and lives here, you know, in the community. If I hit $700 million, I want him to be lazy.
No,
I want us all
I
to
want
be
my
lazy.
Kids to have a great, great life, but I don't want them to be lazy and pompous like I see some people where they give their kids everything. No. Like my son, actually, I'll show a video. He plays ice hockey.
I know this. You know, go back, right?
He's going. You saw the video.
See, I saw this.
He earned that. He worked his tail off. And he knows if he doesn't get the grades, he's not going to go. Because he actually, the last year, he didn't make the team. Because he was they only took what are called, so the Quebec tournament was only for 11 and 12-year-olds. So he was 11. They said, we're only taking 12-year-olds. But he was an alternate. But the coach said, hey, I have another tournament I want him to try out for. So he went and he tried out. Guess where he went? He went to Austria.
That's better than Quebec.
That's exactly what I said.
I'm like Quebec.
Quebec's great. I'm like, dude, we're going to Austria. So the entire family, my wife,
I
Kate,
saw the pictures.
Yeah,
this.
We all went to his He, both sets of grandparents. We all flew to Austria. I'm like, you're never going to go to Austria. It was an incredible trip. But he knew if he didn't get his grades up, he wasn't going. And you know, we talked to the teachers and said, if he doesn't hit the grades, he's not going. And so he had to earn that trip. And that's how I am. Is you know, I love my kids to death. I pay everything for them. They have incredible sports that they play. My son plays ice hockey. My daughter plays, but she's not competitive. She loves. She has.
At least we both live long enough for the Caps to win a cup, right?
Oh yes, yes we do.
They, you know, right? I mean, they won a cup.
They did. My son loves. Next time I want to tell you the story about Sonny Milano and Frank Milano. His dad's incredible guy. Sonny's my son's favorite player. He's not playing right now. He's injured.
I love people that have the niche sports, you know? Like you know Emily Keller, a former mayor of Hagerstown?
No.
She runs a Westmore's opioid.
Okay.
Hopefully you don't need her in your district. But her daughter's a roller derby girl. I'm like, roller derby? Yeah. You know, ice hockey? That's not normal here. Lacrosse, you know, basketball, baseball. But playing ice hockey takes a little extra commitment, I think.
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
I know.
It's cold.
I've had a lot of hockey dads
it's
in my
cold.
Life.
And I tell people, you know, tournaments for us, not like baseball where there's a baseball diamond around every corner or there's a basketball court everywhere. There's only so many ice rinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the tryouts, my wife was driving him up to upstate New Jersey, right just south of the right. New York
well, next
line.
Time I get together with you, after I feed you a cheesesteak, you can explain to me how in the world your kid got involved in hockey. JB Jennings is here. We're over Pizza John's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, making sure we're keeping all that happening. And my newest sponsors at GBMC. JB, I'm 56, and I haven't had my colonoscopy. And the friends at GBMC have decided to guinea pig me out like Milhouse back in the day, and I'm going to make sure that I get tested and make sure that I'm on the up and up.
That's the one cancer that's preventable. Get it done. I've had mine done. It's painless. Trust me. I've lost friends who are too bullheaded to get it done. If I could,
I'm
one
in.
Soapbox,
I got the doc on
get it.
Go ahead. You're on it. All right. PSA, get your number checked. Do the whole thing.
Whew. Get it done.
GBMC's taking good care of me.
They will.
They're taking good care of me.
The worst part of it is the prep. The worst part's the prep.
I've already done one segment on this. We're going to do one more just to try to get me out of the tree. The first one scared me straight. The second one's going to scare me in.
Yeah. Trust me. It's not bad at all.
I know. He explained it all to me. Speaking of that, we're going to eat our faces off. Is the Tastiness Tour. It is all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. Wendy's going to come by and get her first ever Pizza John's pizza. I'm sending her family home with delicious cheesesteaks, meatball subs, anything they want. Her kids are into the bananas, you know, the baseball bananas, you know. So I was out at the golf thing talking about bananas. So I'll send them home with some banana ice cream here. They got a beautiful ice cream stand at Pizza John's as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Crab Cake Tour continues in Essex for our 27th anniversary. Stay with us.